morning. I'm very honored and thankful to have the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. You can sit down. Sorry. That's kind of new. It always is humbling to open God's word before his people because his word cost him his only son. And it's a priceless word. You know, there's no price you can put on this Bible. So when we open it together this morning, it's a great privilege. And I'm so thankful for this word indeed, because it is a life-giving word. And we all know how much our lives have been changed because of this word. This morning I want to look at trusting God as we go to him with prayer, in prayer with persistence and patience. Two words I needed to work in my life, so I hope they bless you too. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 3 in the middle of your Bible. I'm used to teaching the kids, so I kind of have to tell them where to go. So if I tell you Proverbs in the middle, it's not that I don't think you don't know. It's just I'm used to saying, this is how we get there. And in chapter 3, verse 5, is a verse I'm sure you all probably have learned. Some of you may have had it as a retemory when I taught you when you were younger. Some of you may be parents that helped your children learn this retemory. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. To trust someone, you have to know them. You know, to trust someone, you have to have gotten to know them somewhat. I know you all trust us with your children for an hour and a half back there, and you dropped them off probably the first time you came and didn't think too much about it. But if you were to trust me to watch your children for a whole weekend, that would probably be a different story. I would think you'd want to have known me a little bit first. And that's how it is with trust. It takes time to develop that. And with God, it takes time for us to develop that trust with him too, because we want to know God, and we want to know that we can indeed trust him. And how do we know God? By going to his word. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. I know when I was thinking about trusting God and times when I had really trusted God and times when I hadn't, and how did I develop that trust with God, and I thought about when I was 12 years old. I was raised in a church where when you were 12, you had the opportunity to make the decision to believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, make him Lord in your life, and get water baptized, get put on a white gown, get dunked under, come up, and in front of the whole congregation. And you couldn't do it before you were 12, but when you were 12, you could do that. And so, of course, I wanted to do that. I memorized the books of the Bible. I memorized Psalm 100. I was ready to go. I was going to get water dunked, and I knew I was going to know God even better when I came up out of that water. And before we were baptized, the minister met with everybody individually and said, you know, why do you want to do this? I guess just make sure that our hearts were, you know, right. And, you know, and I said, I really want to know God. I really want to be able to pray to God and know my Heavenly Father. And he said, well, that's a good thing. But he didn't tell me how or you know, just that's good. So that morning in the sermon, he was talking about how there was one particular individual who the reason why they really wanted to be baptized was to know God. And wasn't that a beautiful thing? And I thought, that must be me he's talking about. I know I'm going to know God even better when I get water because he talked about it. So, you know, I got dunked under and I came up, and after I dripped and I sat there and I was like, okay, God. And there was like no voice from heaven. There was no phenomenon. There was just drip, drip, drip. And I was done. And I thought, oh, well, do I really know God any better? Not much, you know? So, I mean, I knew how to get born again, but that was it. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Because God, in so lovingly in his word, tells us his desires for man, his vision for our lives, what he wants. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come into a knowledge of the truth. I remember when I read that, I thought, wow, there's two parts to it. He wants every man to be saved, but he also wants him to come into a knowledge of the truth. He wants him to know what's true for his life, and that's in God's word. And it wasn't until I really started to learn how to understand God's word by studying the word and not just things about the word, and then when I got baptized with Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues for the first time, that I really felt like I was on my quest to know and trust God. So we've got a lot to be thankful for. You know, we have His Word, and we can hear from God. And this morning it was great. I was writing down some of the manifestations because that's God talking to us. And one of the things He said was, I keep my promises. Faint not. You know, you are beloved and holy without sin. You know, I just love His love. My heart is, all my love is to you. Share everything with me, for I only love you. I mean, God is so loving. And when we hear from Him, we realize how much He does really care and how much we can trust. Turn to Lamentations. Now, this one you might need help with. It's after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. This was a verse that Bruce Mahone shared when he taught a couple weeks ago on starting your day with prayer. I don't know if that really blessed you, that teaching. I know it did me. I will admit I am kind of a morning person anyway, but I do like to get up and pray in the morning. And this verse really got me on the quest of looking at what I'm going to share with you this morning about patience. Because in this verse, it talks about that. It starts out in Lamentations chapter 3. Sorry, I didn't tell you what chapter. Verse 22. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. You know, when we trust someone to pray with, or we turn to someone for counsel, it's someone that's compassionate. You know, God is a compassionate God. Like He said in the manifestations, we can hide nothing from Him. We can come to Him with all our cares. He said He even knows us better than we know ourselves. So what have we got to hide, you know? His compassions, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. You know, God is faithful. He is faithful. The Lord is my portion with my soul, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. This is the verse that I read and kind of went, whoa, it is good that I have to wait? Huh. I never thought about waiting being good. I don't know about you, but when I have to wait, I'm usually annoyed and I don't like it. Like, okay, let's move this line along. Or if I'm at the bank, I'm thinking, didn't I used to do this faster, you know, last year? But it says that it's good that a man should both hope and wait, quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, it's good. It's okay. It's part of what God says we can do. So I guess if God says we can do it, then we can do it. Turn to Romans chapter 12, please. We can pray to God at any time, at any moment, and He lovingly hears our prayers. He has great compassion for us. He wants to help us. And when we pray, we realize that God will accomplish what God's Word accomplishes in His purposes. And sometimes I feel we pray for our purposes. It's so important for us to realize that when we're being patient, maybe we're clinging to the Word so we can see His purposes and not our purposes. When you turn to Romans chapter 12, in verse 12, it says very clearly, once again, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in worry. No, I'm in tribulation, I'm trying to be patient, and I am worried. No, continuing instant in prayer. Oh, wow, it's prayer is what we do when we have tribulation and we're working on being patient, because God tells us we can be. You know, tribulation can be translated as mental pressure or afflictions. How many of you have ever had mental pressure or afflictions? Just a few, once in a while, occasionally? Me too. And yet God says so lovingly, we can be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And the word to look at there is continuing. It's not just that we prayed, okay, now fix it, God. But maybe it's we're praying and we're continuing in prayer. It may take prayer months before we see an answer. But when we do, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful answer. Have you ever had to pray for several months and then all of a sudden the answer clicks? And you go, oh, wow, that's what it was. And maybe we weren't ready to receive the answer earlier. You know, us and our little pea brains, sometimes We shut the things out that we've locked tradition in its place. But patience is that hanging on, that staying in the Word, that clinging to the promises for my life. God gives us patience as we continue in prayer. And when we pray, we should delight in God because He is so compassionate to us. Turn to Psalm 86. I think about God's wonderful patience with us. He never gave up. It's a long time between the fall and the birth of Jesus Christ. A lot of women could have had babies all along that time. But it wasn't till Mary that God knew His plan could be fulfilled. And in Psalm 86, in verse 15, is a wonderful verse. It says, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." He is a gracious God. He gives us great grace, and He is long-suffering. And I'm going to look at the word long-suffering with you this morning also as well, because I used to think patience and long-suffering were the same, or sort of the same, or pretty close. But actually, they're quite different. Similar, but, you know, in some ways, but they are different. We're going to look at that today, because those are qualities that we can have, and they're also qualities that God has for us. So God is full of compassion. That's pretty neat. Compassion to me means He understands. You know, He really understands our need. There's nothing He doesn't understand. So why should we not fail to go to Him with what those things are that we can't quite handle ourselves? Turn to Psalm 25. Psalms is a great place to look as far as David's heart to God. We know that David was on the run a lot in his life, that he was being pursued for his daily breath. You know, he did not live a very tranquil, peaceful life. And yet he sought God daily, probably hourly. And he stayed alive and he was blessed. And in Psalm 25, verse 1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed." Wasn't it beautiful in Manifestations this morning how God said not to be ashamed? I mean, I know we read it in the Bible, but then when God says it in Manifestations, it kind of like rings in my ears, and I think, okay, yeah, I get it. I'm not ashamed. "Let not mine enemies triumph over me." Do we have enemies? Yeah, we have one in particular that tries to create moments in our life that are less than peaceful. But we won't let them triumph over me. That's a promise. God says they... We can go, like David writes, "Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Wow, what a great thing that we have available to us, that we can ask God to lead us. We can ask God to teach me. Isn't that wonderful? When there's moments when we're just not sure how to handle it, God, teach me. And then trust that He will. David prayed for guidance. I know in verse 5, Moffat translates it, "Lead me as thou art true to thy word." Is God true to His word? Yes. Are we always true to the word? No. But God is. And in verse 6, it says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." And it's in the plural there. It's the abundance of mercies, the abundance of loving kindness. There's never going to run out. It's not going to run out. We're not going to look at a loving kindness barrel in God's, you know, department and say, "Well, it's at the bottom today. Guess I got to come back tomorrow." Nope, there's always more for us. Verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." You know, God's basis for answering prayer is not man's goodness, but it's God's goodness. Isn't that great? It's not that we're so good that God's going to answer our prayer today. You know, "Well, God, I'm really being good today, so please answer my prayer." No. You know, God is good. He loves us. So therefore, He will answer our prayers. Verse 8, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment. and the meek will he teach his way. God did not require sinless perfection for our lives, but he does expect humility and meekness. He does expect a great awe for God. And that humility is being able to say, okay, God, it's not me but you, and I'm listening. You know, that humility is knowing that we're frail, that we're not perfect, that God can direct our paths, that he can teach us. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament. And in verse 11 was another verse when I was working patience and long-suffering that caught my attention, and I went, wow, God's pretty cool. Actually, we could start in 10. It says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's what I want. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Joyfulness in long-suffering. Joyfulness in patience. Just when I think my patience has been pulled a little far, it's joyful. Well, that's what God says. And then verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. Wow, we're thankful. Isn't it interesting how they all kind of work together? With all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. We can have joy, that inside job, not conditional to the circumstances, but that joy on the inside, knowing that God gave us joy when we may be suffering long for someone, or we may be having patience in a situation where a prayer has not been answered just yet. I looked at these two words, and I'm not going to get real detailed on you, but patience and long-suffering, sometimes the word for long-suffering is translated patience in God's word, and sometimes the word for patience can be translated other things like endure, etc. But the word for patience in the Greek is hupomone, and that kind of helps you figure out where all the patient ones are. And the Greek word for long-suffering is makrothumio, which is the other words that we're going to look at. But let's first start with patience. Patience is really with yourself. It's a thing inward. God gives us patience to deal with ourselves as we continue in prayer. Long-suffering is more in the context of service to others, of helping others, how we deal with others, to persevere patiently and bravely in when enduring troubles. That's more the long-suffering. To be, they've translated as slow in avenging or slow to anger. That's the long-suffering that we can do. And to be patient in bearing the injuries of others. Okay? Sometimes people may injure us, and that's that long-suffering that we can have toward them when we realize God's love and forgiveness and mercy. Let's look at patience first, though. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. I thought this was, this is the first use of that word for patience. You know, it's so wonderful that we've been put together into a family of God. We're all members of the one body, and we're members in particular. And different ones of us have different ministries that we can bless the body with. And what's so great is as we pray and let God show us his way, direct our paths, we can see what our paths, our steps will be. We can walk out on what God shows us. And while we're doing that, we can have that patience with ourselves, because it takes a while to grow in God's word. It takes a while to trust God. And in verse 8, in chapter 8 and verse 4, it says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. It's about Jesus Christ here. And a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Wow. Hear this, people. Hear what I'm saying. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? We don't get it. As their manner was oftentimes. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Wow. We bring forth fruit in our life with patience. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's God's desire that we have good ground, that we receive the word with an honest and good heart, and we keep it. You know, keeping it is that Psalm 119:11, kids. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I'm sure you guys have heard that one. You know, that's that hiding that word in our heart is how we keep it. And then when we do, we can bring forth fruit with patience. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. This is one of my favorite verses. My kids probably know where I'm going. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I thought about patience, and I thought about what's the opposite of patience is when we're impatient. That's true. And when we're impatient, we're probably a little bit on the anxious side. Just sad. So in verse 6, it's a wonderful verse because it says, be careful, or that word could be more accurately translated or rendered anxious, for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Yep. God's the one who we want to pray to. And there's nothing that we have to be anxious for. When we trust God with our prayer, then the anxiousness is gone. That word supplication is a really great word because it is a petition for a special object with looking at your personal need in mind. That's just you. That's what you need specifically. Because all of us have different needs. All of us have different things in our lives that we want help with. But God knows that. And he knows your specific needs. So that when you come to him with that specific request, he knows that you don't need to be anxious about it. He's told you so. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and specific requests, with thanksgiving, being thankful. Being thankful God's there to hear. Being thankful God's going to hear your prayers and answer them. Let your requests be made known unto God. And in verse 7, it so wonderfully follows and says, and the peace of God. The peace of this world? No. The peace that comes from sitting by the river? No. You know, I can be in peaceful situations, and I can be in unpeaceful situations, but I can have the peace of God in both those situations. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I like to be in peaceful situations. That's my, you know, you like to sit and read the word when it's real peaceful. But even if it's not peaceful, I can still have that peace that comes from God, which passes all understanding. All understanding. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't understand, gosh, how can I still be peaceful right now? Because lots happened. But I can. Because it's the peace that comes from God. Shall keep your minds, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that keep is that guard, like a garrison. It just keeps your mind from going, ah, and freaking out. Our minds like to freak out. I don't know about yours, but every now and again, my mind will go, ah! But we can say, okay, peace of God, let's guard it. It's in there. I think it is. Phillips translated these two verses as, don't worry over anything whatsoever. Whenever you pray, tell God every detail of what your needs in thankful prayer. And the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. You know, we can know, we can have that peace. And you know when you're peaceful, that's when you receive the answers. I found that most often. How about you? Remember, I used to hear the greatest cargoes of life come in over quiet seas. You know, it's that peace that we can have on the inside that we know we can receive that answer from God. I know I got home from the women's weekend and I couldn't find my Bible. And I was like, my Bible, I've got my Bible, I'm going to teach next Sunday, I got to have my Bible. Well, I could use Roger's Bible, it's the same, looks the same, but doesn't have the coffee splotches in the same place, doesn't have my handwritten notes just where they are. And I thought, gosh, did somebody pick it up? You know, and I looked for 2 days, and I still hadn't found it. And I called Nancy Lude, and I said, you know, I've not found my Bible yet. Is there a lost and found? You know, and she said, I don't think it's in there. And I was like, oh, I want my Bible. And then I just sort of thought, you know, I'm just going to pick up my office. And there it was underneath a couple other books, underneath, like, the copy machine. It was, like really out of place where it should have been, but I was still thankful. And it was like when you just get peaceful and say, okay, God, it's in your hands. I just want my Bible. Do this little thing for me, okay? It would really bless me a lot. And he did. And that's being specific. God's so cool. You know, there's nothing like that's like too small. Like, come on, get over it. You know, any Bible will do. Our needs are his cares. He really cares. And I want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is another verse I love to read and remember. Hebrews, James, versus 2 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We can cast our cares, our anxieties on God by letting our requests be made known unto him. Why? Because he cares. And he says we can. Isn't that great? There's nothing that we can't cast. We can trust in God. We can acknowledge him as our need to be our sufficiency, not ourselves. And we can know that God is faithful. So why do we often fail in seeing our prayers not getting answered? Why does that sometimes happen? Why does it seem like we pray for things and it just doesn't seem like it's coming to pass? I think sometimes we stop praying. I think sometimes we stop thinking that God can truly help us. At least I know it's happened in my life. And we try to fix it ourselves with our own 5 senses evaluation of the situation. Okay, God, I haven't gotten that answer yet, so I'm going to fix it my way. And I'm going to do it my way, and we'll just see what happens. And so oftentimes, my way is not the way it needs to be. And we realize afterwards, whoa, I don't think that was really what God had intended, but oh well. Pick myself up, get back on track, and continue to pray. Turn to Luke chapter 18. I know it was said of George Mueller that he would pray to certain people he wanted to have believe, to receive the word and get born again. And I believe it was 2 of those people that got born again after he died. I mean, it was like God still honored his prayer, and he was in the ground. You know, how wonderful that Mueller prayed for as long as he physically could. You know, and that's something for us to realize, that we can pray for things as long as we physically can, and God will continue to hear our prayers and continue to answer them. And it may not always be as fast as we want, but that's why God gave us patience, right? And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 is another parable. And Jesus says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh, do you think we could faint? And even God in manifestations today said faint, not to faint. It's so wonderful. Saying, there is in a city a judge which feareth not God, neither regardeth man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, a widow in those days were pretty needy indeed. You know, they didn't have much. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, he's really not too spiritual here, but yet, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Oh my gosh, I'm tired of seeing her face. She keeps coming every day. I can't handle this. And this is just a parable. Obviously, God is not that way, you know. But it's a parable to illustrate how the woman didn't quit because she knew her cause was right. She knew she needed to have her adversaries avenged, you know, so they weren't downtrodding on her. And she knew that she needed to have the help of this judge. So he finally did it. God does not grudgingly meet our requests. You know, God is a gracious God. He is a God full of compassion. So if the widow can be persistent in making her requests, then we can boldly come to the throne of grace and make our requests to our loving Heavenly Father. And we can keep praying. We can be consistent. Turn to Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was an incredible man. And I think of all the things he went through with stripes and beatings and in the deep and all that stuff, and he just kept plugging along. He just kept saying, I'm going. I'm still doing God's word. God showed him things about the mystery. I mean, my gosh, what God showed him. And this is one of the things that I think kept Paul going. He says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 1, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Without ceasing, Paul prayed for the Romans. He always prayed for them. You know, we've got a wonderful fellowship here in Central Ohio. And it was so great at the Women's Weekend. We saw women from other parts, Ireland and Pittsburgh and, you know, other places. And I know for me, those are women I'm going to be praying for because I got to know them. I don't know about you, but you probably got to know some women in your fellowships that you didn't know before. And those are women that you can pray for now because you got to know them. And how wonderful it is that Paul prayed without ceasing for the Romans. That is a great avenue for us to be able to do to bless the body. You ever thought about what can I do to bless the body? You know, prayer for people. We all need prayer. And then in Colossians, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the Romans weren't the only ones on Paul's prayer list. He prayed for other people too. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow. Do you ever witness to someone, or maybe parents, you have children who you want to have more spiritual understanding, wisdom and understanding? That's something we can pray. That's something we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that we can desire that they might be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, in Ephesians it talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We can pray that for ourselves, and we can pray that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it says, again, that he did not cease to pray. He didn't quit praying on him. And I know Colossians is one of those epistles that shows where they didn't always do the word of God. There were things they didn't always walk perfectly. But he didn't give up on them. He just kept praying for them. Turn to, just go on to verse 11 here. I want to look back at this verse again. You know, he prays. He's prays that they would be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There's that verse again. That patience and long-suffering with joy we can have. And look at it in the context. Isn't that great? In the context of praying for the believers and what his desire was for them. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to look at long-suffering in a couple verses here. And we're going to start in verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had, what?
Patiently
endured. He obtained the promise. So it wasn't he got it real quick. He had to patiently endure. And what was that promise? That promise, I think, was that Sarah and Abraham would have a child. And as I recall, they were no spring chickens. They were pretty up there in years. In fact, I think it was beginning to get into the miraculous stage of Sarah conceiving at all. You know, it's kind of like going, okay, God, this is really a stretch for me to believe, but okay. But they knew that that was a promise of God. And you know, I don't think God gave them the promise to them when they were real old. I think he might have given the promise to them when they were younger. And maybe they just didn't believe it yet. But they patiently endured, saying, okay, God, you know, maybe sometime I'm going to get to the point where I can believe this promise from you, and guess what? We'll have a child. We'll have a child, and it won't be from a handmaid. It'll be from my wife. So he patiently endured, and that patiently endured is long-suffering. You know, that's something that was an action they were taking. They long-suffered, and they had that child. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Let's go to 18. I think really we should read in the context. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, for the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. What I really want to look at is the last part of this verse, how God had long suffering to save eight people. That there were that many people that were so bad they all drowned, but eight were able to live, and he had that long suffering, that enduring for Noah. Because how long did it take Noah to build the ark? How many days? 120 years? I couldn't find it last night. I said, someone will know. A long time. A long time. And God, it says, was long suffering of God while God waited in the days of Noah. So I don't think we're going to have to wait 120 days for something because we probably won't be here. But, you know, just how God had to exhibit that for Noah. And Noah, bless his heart, to have to keep building that ark when everybody was laughing at him. Turn to James chapter 5. Back of chapter here. This verse I really love when it comes to illustrating long-suffering. I think you kind of see the context with Abraham and Noah to realize just how they were a long time doing what they were doing. But in chapter 5, verse 7, it says, be patient, and that word is the word for long-suffering. Be long-suffering, therefore, brethren, in the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long-suffering for us, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient or long-suffering. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We just learned a lot about the hope and about the return of Jesus Christ a few weeks ago. Would some of you like to see that happen today? Yeah, I would. It's like, okay, we could probably burst through those skylights. Pretty nifty. That would be pretty cool. We just kind of like rise up through here. Beam me up. But you know what? I don't know if it's going to happen, but it might not, you know. And if not, we can be patient. We can be patient like the husbandman that waiteth for the fruit of the earth. How many of you out there have gardened? Even if you've slightly dabbled, a few of you have like planted a few seeds, watered, let the sun, you know, okay, good. So you know what I'm talking about. When you put the seed in the ground, have you noticed that not all of them sprout? You have to plant more than what are going to sprout because not all of them do. And then even when they sprout, it doesn't happen like that. It takes a while. And then even when that tomato plant happens, the tomato is first green. It's not even red. It's green. You can't even eat it. But it's there, but it's still green. And you have to wait for it to ripen and get red, and then finally you can pick it. Well, that takes a lot of patience to be a gardener. It's not like going to Big Bear and just picking up the tomato and bringing it home. You know, you planted that seed, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're letting the rain. Well, sometimes I think a gardener would like to be able to say to the tomato plant when it's coming up, okay, make them red. I don't want green anymore. Right now. But you know what? The tomato plant is not going to respond. Well, it's kind of like that when we're working with people and we want to say, okay, grow faster. Come on, get the word now. Or myself. Okay, why don't I get it right now? I'm in that green tomato stage. I want to be red, you know? But you know, that's why we can have the patience that they have of the husbandmen. We can have that patience to verse 8. Be also patient. Establish your heart. You know, we can be a patient in establishing our heart. It takes a while to establish a heart. It doesn't happen overnight. And we build the word in our heart, brick by brick, verse by verse, until we see it come to pass in our life. Just like as we build that word brick by brick, we're building that trust in God, moment by moment. Isn't that great how they kind of go together? The more we understand the word and we put it into our heart, the more we can trust God with that word. We saw in the Old Testament how David trusted God with all his heart. And it says he was a man after God's own heart. We can see how patience and long-suffering are in the context of fixing our hearts, how our hearts can be fixed upon the word with patience and long-suffering. When we truly trust God with our prayers, we can cast all our cares to him. We can patiently wait for his direction and guidance. We can have patience in tribulation, mental pressures. And we can be strengthened with might unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It can be a joy. And we can bring forth fruit in our lives with patience and have the long-suffering of a gardener with his garden in our own lives. Turn to Psalm 34. And in verse 8, it says, guys there, give you a minute. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. May we be those blessed men and women who trust in God. Thank you.